like this. Okay, it's the day trippers. It's not the Monday club. It's the Tuesday club. We've moved to Tuesday because obviously you saw all the pre-match, post-match stuff that we've been doing. It's a lot on Periscope and the whole lot. So anyway, up first, we have a review of that fantastic Leicester City match. We're going to preview the fantastic upcoming Leicester City match. And then we are also going to be talking a couple of the trippers chats, which was thrown in at the end because we're absolutely exhausted. We've now recorded episode 7 of the Fatback 4. You'll understand that a bit later on. Obviously, big thanks again to our main sponsors, Skillzone, Sandyford, the home of the World Games 2017, which is due to take place in October. World Games. Of course, 10 different skill zones. Get up there, bring a party, bring a load of your mates up, see how good you are, and see if your scores can actually beat us when we get along to the World Games. Come along and laugh at us all when the War Games on. We will give you the date and time in the next couple of weeks. So anyway, here's the cut that you've never noticed.
So, Kevin, what would you say your main skills are?
Rugby, soccer, Gaelic, tennis, climbing, basketball, shooting, golf, baseball and hanging tough.
Test your sports skills at Skillzone, Ireland's first multi-sports indoor circuit. Be the first to get 100 points and you'll also win €10,000. Skillzone Sandyford. See skillzone.ie. T's and C's apply.
And you loved it, Gav, did you?
I couldn't give a bollocks to you.
It was Caramel Week and the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, we
missed it.
Fucking Prue and Paul Hollywood having the absolute lols.
And we're here watching this.
We're watching this.
The lols.
I bet you Mara had two tellies set up so she could watch the match.
I bet you Mara had an illegal stream of a different camera angle from the Great British Bake Off. Right, lads, where do we go? Okay, look, we can overreact in the whole lot. First of all, I think I'll set the tone. It's poxy when you don't win, no matter who the opposition is and no matter who the competition is, right? So everyone's a bit down after it. It's poxy when you seem to keep making the same mistakes over and over again. Yeah. But is there anything to take out of that game? Let's start with the positives. Is there anything to take out of that game, Gav?
Yeah, I thought a couple of players played well. I thought Woodburn done very well when he came on. I thought Robertson was decent. Gomez was okay. To be honest with you, it's for me, watching that, the players that you would call senior pros at the club that were put into the team tonight were a massive letdown. As much as people don't like Clavin, he's supposed to be a senior pro and he was abysmal. And people won't like this, but Henderson just continues to really, really annoy me. The position he plays in, he should be either there to keep the ball ticking over and protect the back four or create from that position. And he's doing neither. He's the amount of times that Leicester just nicked the ball and we're gone past him in one move and he's no answer to it. I think he's been very poor since the start of the season and only continues tonight. And as captain, he should be the man out there geeing up the younger lads. But the younger lads carry the more professional pros tonight, in my opinion.
Okay, James, you're a positive guy. Say something positive.
Let's hear your fucking spin on this, James.
Say something positive. Best of luck, mate. Say something positive.
Best of luck, mate.
Right. I thought Gomez looked pretty composed for 90 minutes, so that was a positive. Hopefully Jurgen thought the same, and maybe we might see him play with either Matip or Lovren on Saturday. Probably won't, but that would be nice if that happened. What else? Woodburn looked good. He had some nice runs.
Really?
Yeah, I thought.
Well, I don't know. I'll get into it. I suppose there's no point banging on about Clavin. He's shit, right? Like, let's be honest about it. He is, right? Absolutely. He's substandard.
But it's a collective, Phil.
I know it's a collective, but it's a collective to the point that they're the same type of mistakes. But it's the same bloke in the middle of all the mistakes.
Yeah, because the first goal there, right?
Well, he's been targeted.
Yeah, but he's not being targeted. He arrives in these positions to make him look like he's being targeted. When, like, if you look at the first goal, it's a good defensive header out.
Yeah.
Now,
yep.
The Leicester left back gets on the ball, right? And Liverpool, what he should be doing is saying, right, he has it. He's putting it back in here. Mm-hmm. Let's set up again, win the ball again, and we'll get rid, and then we'll move out. They didn't. Everyone came out to the edge of the box. Flanagan was left in there. Gomez probably should have been a bit.
Gomez is two yards behind the rest of the defence. He doesn't come out with a whole lot of them. Yeah. He comes out. Okazaki is offside and that forced ball back in.
I get that. But what I'm saying is when the ball drops, when the force header is won, Clavin is moving around but doing absolutely nothing. If that was anybody, any sort of centre half, like take the likes of a John Terry or anyone, They're flinging themselves at that. They're taking him, the ball, and everything
but
else.
It's not in our nature. It's not in the way we're playing to do that type of defending. And it hasn't been that way for. And it's not like, just Klopp. It's Rodgers. It's even Dalglish before that. Right? We've been bad defensively for a long time now at this stage. And people even talk about, oh, you know, it's different when Carragher was there. When, towards the end of Carragher's career, he wasn't that good. You know, his time had finished and you could see his time was up on the pitch. Where we're missing now, you know, everyone's talked about Van Dijk and all that. It's just, for a team that went into 16-17 light on centre-backs, right, where it was Matip, Clavin and Lovren as your three sort of known centre-backs, given the hassle that went on with Sacco. And we converted Lucas to a centre-back to get us through that season. To go into this season and not to have addressed that in any way, shape or form is why these problems now are on a continuum.
If you see a problem, you try fix it.
Yeah.
Now, he's obviously gone with the idea that he can fix it with the personnel he has there. I don't agree with him. I said at the end of last season that Van Dijk was the name going around, and Van Dijk or any other centre-half of that quality, you go in and do it. But some teams can be proactive defensively or they can be reactive, and we're not proactive, there's definitely no doubt about that, but we're not good enough at reacting either.
Okay, I want to ask, it's one that people are putting to us, right? And it's something that we brought up at halftime as well. The Henderson thing, right? And it's not just Henderson, it's whoever's been chosen to screen that defence across the course of the season. We've conceded 16 goals now, I think 6 games or something like that across the whole course. And even if you take away the City one, it's still 11 goals. In our games so far this season, it's not acceptable for the number of games we played if we have intentions to win trophies and win things. But whoever we're playing there simply isn't sitting and cover and you know, marshalling that defence or protecting that defence. And I think there is a collective disappointment now with Henderson, because he played so well at the start of last season in that role that he doesn't seem to be able to find that form again this season. And again tonight, you know, he looks like little boy lost at times out there. He's meant to be the captain of the team. You're looking for a reaction out of him. And Stephen, he does look like little boy lost.
Yeah, I've been a massive fan of Henderson all the way through and stuck with him when he was injured and whatever else, said let him get it fit and get back into it and whatever else. But it's very, very hard to... Listen, you can't just be a blind fanboy of any player. And you have to be objective in this instance when it comes to Henderson and say... He's not on his, you know, he's not up to pace. And you'd have to look and think that Klopp is thinking the same thing at the moment, because he's played the club captain with a second string side to an extent tonight for 90 minutes when we're playing that exact same side again on Saturday. So you'd have to think that maybe he's brought Coutinho off early, he's brought Gini off early, and he hasn't involved Emre Can. You'd have to think that he's looking at going with that three against Leicester on Saturday, meaning his club captain.
He's on the bench.
His first team. Normally, your club captain is your first player on the team sheet or very close to it. And at this moment in time, you're looking at three players getting into that central midfield ahead of him, because he's just not at the races. Now, that says two things. Number one, thankfully, we have players that we can do that with, that we're not stuck to having to play him regardless. But secondly, it shows you the level at which he's playing at the moment. And it is off the pace. There's no question about it.
He's been out for a long time, like, you know. It was meant to be a bruised foot last year, and it went on and on and on. And you had to give him the benefit of the doubt over pre-season. And probably early in the... Probably right up to now, you probably say, okay, look, he's coming back into it. But it's not only I don't think it matters who's in there, Steve-O, because if you put Henderson in there or Jean, I don't think either of them screen enough. And they need to screen enough because of
they're
the...
They're not a Kante. They're not a Matic. They're not a... I'm agreeing with you here.
Do you know what I'm saying? If you have two centre-halves that are big, strong, you know, not front foot, I hate that
physically
front foot
imposing
defender fucking thing. Exactly, physically imposing, where they'll win their battles, right? You don't need a man there screening all the time, because they'll win their battles and they'll play. But what the problem is that you have a centre midfielder now that's not screening enough, right? And two centre-halves that aren't winning their battles. So somebody somewhere has to say, lads, listen, you're at the base of this midfield. I don't give a fuck what you do. They're not winning their battles. You need to be on top of this ball dropping all the time.
Well, let's bring it in, because we're actually getting a lot of interaction from people listening tonight. One of the people here, Red Ray asks, is it officially a slump now?
No, it's not. And I'll say it's not a slump. Look, that's a League Cup game, right? And to be quite frank, when you're in the Champions League and you've got the and you want to be in the top four for next season, the League Cup games are for playing your second string. We played a second string 11 tonight, and that's what it is. I'm not going to pretend that the same issues that have been there for the last four or five games haven't reoccurred and haven't reappeared in this game again, because they have, right? And they need, and you've got to question the manager as to what's the solutions here, because we went through such a long spell from January to March last season trying to find a solution to teams just stacking a defence against us and picking us off on chances. Teams are doing the exact same thing. Well, they're doing the exact same thing.
Adrock 22 says, Klopp isn't some footballing deity beyond criticism. The defence is contemptible. You know, you have to agree there. Like, and this doesn't, it doesn't need to be from one extreme to the next. It doesn't need to be we beat Arsenal and all of a sudden we're challenging for the league. We lose to Leicester with half a team and all of a sudden it's an absolute, you know, meltdown. But from the summertime onwards, you have to say that there was a point whereby Klopp didn't address what we as fans see as gaping errors. Now, he's the manager. He has a way he wants to play. You don't always know the basis of why he didn't sign the players he didn't sign. You don't know why he didn't go after other people rather than the likes of Van Dijk or Keita, even though we got him for next summer. There has to be reasons behind it. But surely we've gone into it. We've gone into a season with three centre halves.
No, I agree. And I said that in leading into this. But look, also, lads, look at it. He's after playing Flanagan there tonight. The chap has no future at the club. Didn't have a future before the season started. That first goal comes off the fact that he gets out-jumped as the ball comes back in of the Leicester player. You know, there was other instances with Flanagan which showed us up. Now, I know we've had to play Gomez at centre-back and we have Trent Alexander, who played there, and Klein is out injured. But you have to think at sometimes, what's the point in playing these fellas who have not? I would have preferred to see a young player come in from the 23s or whatever it is, the right back, to give him a game in this cup. Because you're going to develop them more than someone who's not going to play football.
I suppose we're in a position whereby the young lad coming in from the 23s is now our first choice right back because Klein is injured. So you have to take that into account as well. You know, normally this would be the exact game that Trent Alexander-Arnold would be coming into to play, and everybody would be raving about him because he'd probably have a decent game. You know, but we're just looking here at the game while we're talking. You look at this. Clavin, absolutely abysmal. Henderson, not great. Clavin, absolutely abysmal. Not only getting into a wrestling match with Slimani from the throw-in for the second goal, he then loses Slimani.
He gets out-muscled twice.
Robertson's probably out of position. Okazaki gets on the ball, slips it to Slimani, and Ward has no chance there.
Grudge is on a yellow. So if he blatantly fails him, he's gone. That's a red. He's gone. But I'll come back to... So, look, it's half the problem. We made a shitload of chances in the first half, right? Didn't take them. Second half, our creativity has gone out the window. The heads go.
Oh, absolutely.
At 1-0, at 1-0 down, and there isn't an immediate reaction, the heads go. And at 2-0 down, they may as well have just all walked off the pitch and said, right, that's it, we're done.
It was like 2-0 down against City. You know, when we've been 2-0 down, the heads just dropped, and that was very evident once we went 2-0 this evening.
We've had a little bit of a knock at Flano playing, and Daddy Daletron comes in and says, at least Flano showed some grit and determination.
I'll show
grit and determination. Give me 3 months, or you 3 months, or anybody else 3 months, they'll show grit and determination. He's clearly not good enough, and I don't care about Scouse pride. Trent Alexander-Arnold's from fucking 400 yards from the ground. It's not about Scouse pride, it's about footballing ability. And you can go on about how Flano will stick in a tackle. That's not worth a wank. He lost his header. His header for that fucking first goal.
First goal,
First goal, he gets out-jumped. It's similar to Alexander-Arnold at the weekend, actually, in terms of how he got out-jumped by somebody coming onto him. He's not physically imposing enough to put the attacker off.
We're talking about Flanagan, and you're right, he has no future at the club, all right? And if you look at that team today, Ward won't play on Saturday. None of that back four, I think, will play.
Gomez maybe, but at right back.
I
think he might go with Trent at right back after Gomez playing tonight. I don't think Henderson starts. Wijnaldum maybe, but it's the other players that annoy me more. It's the likes of your Henderson. We know Clavin's limitations, but it's them players that should be able to stand up and take these young players. Like, if you watch Woburn comes on in the second half, and what happens? He's the only player looking for the ball, and he ends up getting deeper and deeper and deeper, and he becomes more, you know, taken away from what he should be doing forward up the pitch. And that's simply because the two lads in the middle of the park, Henderson and Wijnaldum, disappear. They don't do anything defensively. They don't do anything attacking.
Let's look at another positive on it, right? Ward in goal.
Yeah.
Of the three goalkeepers, that's the most impressive goalkeeping display we've had this season.
Yeah. He's done nothing wrong.
No. Even the one where he comes through 500,000 players
and
catches the ball at the edge of the box. We haven't seen someone catch the ball that far out of the box since Reinen left in 09-10.
I nearly stood up when that free kick. When that free kick went up in the air and I seen him coming, I went, oh, look, he's coming. He's going.
But I celebrated that as a goal. That to me was the greatest moment.
Your top was off and everything.
I was running around top off. That was the greatest moment in Liverpool football in history in the last 5 years.
Emil Heskey is a fucking unit, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's an absolute beast. I'm just looking at him there.
Could you imagine him and Matip going up for a header?
No, he was absolutely abysmal in the air as well.
The two of them would have been like, ooh.
He was the tamest giant you've ever seen.
I know, but I he'd deck. Have like Clavin, you know, strapped him, like, you know when you have a new baby and
just swaddling him.
Strapped him and he'd still be mad in the air. Brilliant.
But like, Ward is probably
he's the best
biggest
of the
shining light that was there. Solanke had a great 55 minutes and then vanished out of it for the last 25 minutes.
He disappeared because of the way the midfield was playing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, Woodburn goes in there in Coutinho's role. If you watch the first half, Coutinho's playing 35 yards from goal. He has outlets right, left, in front of him, everywhere. And what happens? The two boys in midfield completely disappear. Woodburn is nearly going back to try to do their job on top of his own. So Solanke is going to be, you know, nullified. And then even Ings comes on to make two up front. And again, like, we're 2-0 down and there's Leicester passing the ball around the back and nobody's pushing them.
Well, that was the one positive of Ings' appearance, is that he does almost get the flick.
Yeah.
Well, he exists, you know, that makes it 1-1. It's a different game and it's a different narrative that goes on. And people need to remember as well a bit that narratives of games are really structured around the goals. Like, if we get an equaliser, it's the same on Saturday. If we had got a winner off one of those 426,325 chances that we made, you know, that game is just gets put into the annals. And it's like, geez, remember when we had 70% possession and 500 shots and we only scored twice and we won, but we didn't. Yeah. And there is a concern around the idea that we are this fantastic attacking unit, but we aren't scoring anywhere near the amount of goals since the international break that you would expect.
We're great at making chances, but we're not clinical. City are clinical. We're not.
Yeah, and you look at us talking about being an amazing attacking side. You're 100% right there, James. You look at City. City look like they've solved some of their weaknesses. Yeah. They've bought 150 million quid's worth of fullbacks.
But they're also playing Aguero and Jesus together, and they're fucking brilliant together.
Absolutely.
They're starting to form a partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to be said for it, you know. And whilst our front three, when all three are playing together, and that includes Firmino, Salah and Mane, are top notch. We lack guile, we lack creativity in our midfield. We have a lot of midfield players, but only Philip Coutinho. I suppose we're forgetting about Lallana because he's injured at the moment, but they're the only two players that are capable of really providing that front three with anything worth working with.
And I find when one of them comes out with a team, it's like we're built to play with them three up front.
Now,
Firmino will miss chances, but what he does around the game is brilliant. But if you watch even the game at the weekend,
well, he was wasted out in the wing.
Yeah, well, you see, I'm completely against Firmino ever playing anywhere but up front. I'm completely against it. I don't.
Who, Firmino?
If he's not the front man, he shouldn't be playing left or right.
Absolutely pointless.
But
it's pointless.
It looks like we're built to play with these three up front.
Yeah.
And if you take one of them out, the whole thing of this front three just becomes disjointed. Like, we're really trying to fit a square peg in a round hole sort of thing, you know?
I want to sort of wrap up this post-match analysis, because, like, and I'll be quite frank about it. Look, at the end of the day, it is the Caribou Cup, right? I don't even know what Caribou is. Right? I thought it used to be like a snack bar
or something like that.
It's an energy drink.
It's an energy drink, is it? No wonder Red Bull wouldn't sell it to Skater.
Yeah. Sure, we're fucking doing
playing the Caribbean Cup. That's a lot of shine. But, you know, ultimately, though, I could forget what my point was. But it is the Caribou Cup, right? But Oxlade-Chamberlain, that's his big chance there tonight. And we haven't talked about him. We talked about him at halftime. And I have to say, having watched that game, I'm there going, sweet Jesus, that fella is never going to make his mark at Liverpool. And people might say that's very reactionary, but this is now a couple of sub appearances and now 90 minutes, and he doesn't look like anything. He looks like Jordan Ibe did when we sold Jordan Ibe to Bournemouth.
He looks a player very low on confidence for me.
And skill.
you know, on skill.
Well, like, you'd wonder, how is he low on confidence having got the move he wanted?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, and it's, I don't think it's a confidence issue. I think
it's ability.
I think it's an ability issue. Yeah. And this has been my argument all summer long. I didn't want us to sign him. I don't see how he improves the team. He's come in, and I'm still willing to give him a bit more time to settle in because it's unfair after a couple of games. But there's, you look at someone like Salah, people talk about how you need to come to the Premiership and adapt. Salah played some time with Chelsea, fair enough, but Oxlade-Chamberlain is a player who's been underachieving and failing to deliver on his potential for 5 or 6 years now, possibly longer.
Yeah, not a fair enough.
And I don't understand what people during the summer saw this magical thing that he had that was going to just click. As soon as he came to Liverpool, we're gonna get everything out of him that has been missing from Arsene. Arsene Wenger just doesn't understand.
Well, Stephen, I'll ask you this, right? I saw tonight the same player that I saw at Arsenal. The exact same player, right? Yeah. And it's the exact player right there. He looks potentially explosive, but never explodes. So there was loads of times he got in the ball, went to attack them, and then right, once he gets into that final third, it flicks a switch and goes, and he goes, and he falls over.
There's a few people here saying that Ox needs to get fitter and he needs to get his fitness, let him get fit. How is he not fit? He had a full preseason. In my understanding, maybe
he started
wrong,
against
he wasn't
us for
injured.
Well, I don't, like, when I look at players, I don't go over the top in a positive or negative way about them. Thanks, I try to be balanced, and I'll give an opinion on them week on week on how they're doing. But if you watch him, he's come in against, I think it was Sevilla was his first game. He had a few minutes. The City game was a fucking write-off, so you forget it. I'd give him a little bit more time to settle in. I know where you're coming from. He does look the same player that he looked at Arsenal. They all go on about this pace he has, and I don't think his pace is an asset at all.
Well, it's how you use your pace.
I think he's more of a footballer than he is a pace merchant, and I think that might... I thought he might go into a front three for us, but I think you may actually see him dropping back and competing for midfield. I hold my hand up and say I think I'm wrong. I think you might actually see him in midfield where he gets to play football more than you.
I've seen him in midfield.
Overblown for me with him.
Yeah, like, as I said, I'm willing to give him, before I make a judgment, I'm just talking about what I've seen of him so far. I see exactly the same player I didn't want us to sign. He needs a bit of time to be given a chance to come in and whatever. Talking PJ just said, Ox is an England international, Ibe isn't. The comparison is nonsense. What I would say is, being an England international isn't a big thing anymore. No. England are shite. And lots of their players are mediocre, and that's why they fail at tournaments. It's not down to a mental issue. It's down to the fact that most of their players are overhyped. And as Ireland, that might seem like we're being bitter Irish fans. I actually cheer and support England in every tournament.
Weird.
Have done since I was a kid. Because I don't know. I always have done, and I always will. I was gutted when fucking Germany knocked them out in Euro 96, whatever else. But I'm saying, the fact is, they've a lot of average players. Ox being an England international is like saying Robbie Brady's an Irish international. Robbie Brady's, and I don't rate Robbie Brady as someone to play for Liverpool.
Klopp
he's no fucking worse than Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Klopp isn't going to turn him around in a month.
But can I ask you, right? Here's the thing, right? And this is the idea of Klopp turning him around and turning him into this super player, right? Whatever about whether he can or not, that may have merit, may not have merit. The question I have is that people talk about Lallana as the comparison. He turned Lallana around, blah, 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 blah. Myself and Jamie have discussed this. He put Lallana. Well, I'm sorry. He turned his Liverpool career around. Right.
He did. Yeah.
But he did it by putting Lallana back into a position that Lallana had thrived in for Southampton or a similar type position.
Yeah. Playing off Lambert.
Yeah.
Well, not even playing, but playing in that where
he
could pick
up. He played off Lambert at Southampton. They were really good together.
But where he could play, he roams around just behind the forward players. Yeah. And what he does for us is, if you've got two mids, he's been playing in that roamy position behind the forwards, and he's getting into the box and he's making assists and things. I just don't see, where does he get the game time?
Who?
Once Alana's fit, and you've got Coutinho and you've got Alana and you've Wijnaldum.
And Chan and
Henderson.
You can't play him at the base of that.
You can't play him at the base, right?
So is he the option for when Mane and Salah are out?
Well, you see, that would be much.
I think he's a utility player. Klopp has seen that he can cover several different places. I don't see him as, you know...
James Milner probably gets in that midfield ahead of him.
I think Milner gets in the midfield ahead of him.
Yeah, Milner's definitely a midfielder again.
We're still here, folks. Stay with us.
You have to get a cameraman.
Yeah, we need cameraman. Where are you? He's still not here yet. Fuck's sake! Typical Trippers bullshit.
He's gone home with 20 quid on this.
Spent 30 quid on petrol to get here. Load of bollocks. No, like from that point of view, I just don't see where he goes in. Like he's a £35 million monkey wrench.
Yeah, but no, at the moment, yeah, you're probably right. But I still think, you know, I think he's pigeonholed into this. You know, oh, he's a wide attacker, or he's a wing back, or he's this. To be honest with you, I think he does need Klopp to say to him, this is your position and I'm going to walk in you in this position. And I did think the front three, but I think I might be wrong. I think the midfield is...
Do you ever think he should just be pigeonholed as an average footballer?
No, he probably is an average footballer. Yeah. But just look, we've seen plenty of average footballers, or so-called average footballers, right, that have gone through and done all right then, you know?
I want to close it out, right? So look, we'll be talking about the Leicester game. The Leicester game at the weekend in a minute. But the one thing I want to close out on
is... Hang on a second. I just noticed we got a message, sexyscope.online, sexy girls. Obviously, we're going to go offline and click this link instead.
Fuck this. I'm on the Sexy Scope Online. Hedge.
I reckon
it is probably Grizz.
That's Grizz with his catfish account, isn't it?
No, it's not catfish. Yeah. That's with his Borner account. Sexypenis.com.
Sexy Grizz girls.
is Van Dijk the profile picture?
Done. But look, to close it out in terms of that game that's there, you know, if we win at the weekend, nobody even thinks about this.
Exactly.
I wasn't thinking about it at all anyway.
No.
I don't actually care too much to the fact that we've gone out. It was the manner in which we went out with a lot of supposed first team players involved tonight. If we'd played more players from the 23s and just said, you know what, fuck this, let's just give the game time to the lads. Fair enough, but you've got the likes of Henderson, Gini, Coutinho starting that game.
Yeah.
You know, that's worrying. That's what could easily any Premiership game be our midfield three.
I'd rather go out there tonight 2-0 where two young lads that don't play first team make two mistakes and we lose 2-0.
Yeah.
And the rest of the team, the so-called first team players, push them and are on top and doing everything they possibly can. And two young lads make half a mistake and get punished. I'd much rather that. What annoyed me tonight was, even though the League Cup doesn't bother me, and to a lesser extent the FA Cup, what annoys me tonight is that the players that you look to put in the team to guide these younger players and push them on were non-existent, and I mean non-existent. For the, they were good in the first half when they were able to give the ball to the front three or four and sit there and go grand.
But to be fair, we played well in the first half because Leicester didn't offer anything.
But anything they tried to come out with, we nullified and we turned the ball around and we played. But the second half, as soon as these more senior pros stopped, it's worrying for me, and I know it's only the League Cup, but it's worrying for me the way it went on.
Right, there's an interesting one. Let's try it. Let's end with the player ratings. So, and that comes in from Darren Dunbar. Right,
Figs.
What do we give Ward for his performance? And I'm going to give him an 11 out of 10. He is the world's best goalkeeper.
I think a 7 to an 8. Yeah. You know, he did everything asked of him. He was very unfortunate with a couple of goals.
So, an average of all of my 11 in, he got a 10.
Superb math.
Right, Flanagan. I'm giving Flanagan a 2.
No.
Minus 5.
Five.
I give him a 6.
5 or 6,
yeah. I give him a 6.
4.
2.
you can see how this is going.
Yeah. Gomez at centre back. I'm giving Gomez a 6. I think he could have done better for the first goal, and he was a bit slow getting across for the second one. Well, great shot, don't get me wrong, but he was very competent, took the ball out well, and looked a bit more physical than Matip has been in that right centre back position.
For me, I think Gomez was probably a 6. It's hard to give anybody after tonight's performance much more than that, you know. So I'd say I'd agree with you on a 6 for
six.
For
six.
Clavin, I'm giving Clavin a 1. He's shit.
I'm giving him 0.
Yeah. Grant,
yeah, I'd give him 4.
Yeah, I'd be along the lines of Gav. We're going to mark low because it's a 2-0 loss. I think a 4 to a 5 is probably fair. He's just the. He's a nothing player. He shouldn't be our first line of backup for centre halves. Jesus Christ, how are we talking about fucking Ragnar fucking Loughbrook Clavin in the team.
Bogdan Clavin running just the show.
Yeah, five.
Okay, Robertson then. I'm giving Robertson, I think in his first half performance, he would have got an 8, but yeah, because he drifted off a bit in the second half, six. I'd bring him back to about 6.5.
Yeah, I think a 6. That's fair. That, yeah. Yeah, I think a 6 is a fair shot.
Okay, we'll come back to Henderson last in the midfield. Let's go with Coutinho and Wijnaldum. So Coutinho only got a half, so...
It's 7 for Coutinho.
I'd give Coutinho 6.5. He was still too eager with the shots and he didn't do much.
He is trying a little bit too hard.
Yeah.
And that was evident at the weekend as well.
Bash one in the top corner.
I know he does, and just say I'm back. Yeah, he just wants to stitch one. Yeah.
Okay.
For me, a 6.
Wijnaldum.
Six as well.
I thought that was Wijnaldum's best away performance of all time. I'm giving him a 9.
Yeah, so because
he turned up.
It was his best away performance of all time, so he gets a 6.
No, it's a 6 as well. Yeah, yeah, it's 6. I know he came off, didn't he? But he was drifting out of the game.
Yeah.
Anyway,
on the second half.
Right,
Chamberlain,
Grujic.
Oh, Grujic. Sorry, yeah, I forgot about him.
Grujic, strange
says
one.
It all, doesn't it?
There's a bit of Marmite there. I think he gets a 5.5.
No, I just go with the standard 6.
Sticks.
Yeah.
I'm giving him 5.5. 5.5.
Yeah, Grujic, no, he gets a 5 for me.
I'd give him a 9 for his rootless tackling, but I'd give him, for his overall performance, it was 4.
You know what, let's just talk about that for a second. People are talking about, oh, Grujic, love a bit of nastiness. I love nastiness when it's backed up with cunning and intelligence. So he's planting somebody with a ridiculous tackle is a Mongo move. Boxing somebody in the face, another Mongo move. He gets a fucking yellow card when he doesn't need to. He never ran beyond the fucking ball tonight. He was slow in passing. A 5 at best for me.
Well, that's what I said, 5.5.
Yeah, that's why I said 5.
Yeah, that's what I said, but I still give him 9 for his mad tackles.
Fair enough.
All right. Who's left? Oxlade-Chamberlain, 2. And we're not debating that. 2.
2, Phil.
I'm going to go 2 myself, actually.
That's what he deserves.
Solanke.
Are we giving our captain a mark?
No, we're coming back to him.
Oh, we're coming back to him. He's second last.
Manager gets the final marking, right? So Solanke, I would give Solanke myself. I'd give him a 6. And I'd like to give him more because I thought his first half performance was very good. But his second half performance, he was very anonymous. So that's why it's a half a performance. Yeah, for me, it's a 6.
I felt sorry for him, to be honest.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, last 25 minutes of the game.
He became isolated because nobody was backing up the play whatsoever. So, 6 for him. Yeah.
I think in the first half, he actually created a lot of his own opportunities. Mm. And it's hard to do that for 90 minutes. You have to rely on the players around you, especially your middle three, to give you balls to feed on. And I don't think he got any of that. So I think it'd be hard to mark him much lower than a 6.
Yeah, and Robertson wasn't getting out wide.
Yeah, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same for balls into the box.
Wasn't the same.
Who have we forgotten now?
Ings.
You've Woodburn, Ings.
Well, Woodburn was on long enough to rate, so I give Woodburn a 6.
Yeah.
At best.
I'd give him a 7.
I'd give him a 5.
I just felt...
although he did get the shot that was off the top of the crossbar.
Yeah, I felt sorry for him as well. Like at 18 or whatever he is, but to have to drop back to midfield to take a ball because these are the two Egypts aren't doing that, were they? I felt sorry for
how are sorry, just completely off topic, but how are Sky having a debate show with Tim fucking Sherwood on?
Yeah, that's
and he doesn't even have his gilet on. Yeah. How can he possibly have an opinion on things?
Forgot his gilet when he's running.
Tim is getting a tree for that style tonight. Who are we left?
So we've got Ings.
Ings
not on long enough to write. And but his Henderson. hair gets an 8. So Henderson, for me, Henderson gets a 4. I expect leadership in a captain in these games. He's got he has inexperienced players around him. I expected to see him more. There was instance when it came to the referee where he's just looking at the referee.
There was one where
get in his ear.
There was one where the Leicester player, there was a big tackle from a Liverpool player.
Yep.
And a Leicester player came flying in like a maniac. And the camera cuts to Henderson and he's just shaking his head and kind of you know, blows his cheek.
That's awful. That's awful.
Just says something quietly to the ref. He should be in the referee's ear going, listen.
Non-stop.
Yeah. Don't let that happen again.
Yeah. He should have been
endangering my players.
He should have been running. He should have been running, screaming to the referee about what had gone on.
Yeah.
I do.
And even
fear,
if you get nothing, it's
in his ear.
Yeah,
it's in his ear.
It might seem reactionary, but the more you look at him, the more you do fear. You look at the captains of the big teams that we are up against at the moment, and the vast majority of them over the years and even currently are big personalities. They're imposing figures, and that personality drives through the whole team.
Yep. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I think Henderson's personality might be driving through the team, and it's a very
wishy-washy,
timid, wishy-washy way.
You said to me with 10 minutes to go, or it might be you, James, said to me, we're getting nothing off this referee. Why would he give you anything?
Yeah,
because he knows if he doesn't give it to you, and you're not going to give out to him.
No.
You're just going to take it and roll over for him.
Yeah.
Okay,
and,
so...
And on the playing side of it, he didn't protect the defence enough, and he'd done nothing in way of...
Offensively.
He'd done nothing.
Yeah.
He was slow, he was ponderous. This ball where he tries to whip it out to the
wing. He looked as interested in that game as half the fan base did...
And the four of us did.
Watching the Great British Bake Off. Yeah, it was Caramel Week. Caramel Week!
Yeah, Caramel is
no one realises we actually had the Bake Off on. What's that second caramel laptop for? Nothing.
Yeah. So, right, so that's the...
What did we rate,
Matt? Four.
Four. Well, I'd have given him a five, but that's...
I'd give him five, but a minus one, so that's a four. And he has four on the jersey.
I'd give him a three.
Three.
And I'd add a one.
To get the four.
I'd
give him a seven.
Would that be the one behind the tree or the one in front of the tree?
In front of.
Before the four.
The one in front of the tree off the four.
Combining the two pair.
So, and then lastly and not leastly, Jurgen Klopp. I'll throw it in. I don't mind trying.
I'll go a five.
Yeah, five.
I'm going with six. And the reason I'm going with six, the majority of the team was six, right? His selection, I had no real issues with the selection that he put out there. I thought it was good enough to win a time, good enough to win a game. But again, I don't see the core issues in our defending. Parking personnel and the whole lot, right? I'm still seeing the same chances being coughed up. I'm still seeing the dominating. I'm not seeing the progression, the lessons that we've learned from the last two games or in what we've done. And that, for me, is why I'd mark it down. I'd say, yeah, he got his selections right. His substitutions were a lot more proactive than they have been for the last while as well, in terms of what was going on, which was a good thing to see. But I'm seeing the same weaknesses, same issues.
Yeah.
Anyone disagree?
No.
I don't disagree, but I think that I don't think he really cared about the game. You could see him after, he wasn't too fussed. Mm-hmm. But I think his team selection on Saturday has made it a lot easier for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think anyone that wants to knock on his door and moan about not being in the team on Saturday, I don't think anyone has an argument against it.
Really doesn't. Yeah. Okay, so right then.
Next year, Steve-O,
yeah.
Okay.
Right then. So, look, Steve-O's left us. I'm down to Gav and James. And if they don't agree with me, I'll just talk to them for myself for the next 10 minutes as we preview the Leicester match. So, lads, I don't know much about Leicester. I haven't seen them recently. That
that won't be anywhere near the team that you'll see on Saturday. Anyway.
No.
Is Vardy injured?
No, I didn't hear if he was injured. Okay. I was hoping
he's injured.
Red Bull over for the next 3 or 4 days.
He's been drinking the Caribbean after the match now.
Doing the dirt on Red Bull.
Yeah.
I heard that Vardy is injured.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But hopefully he stays injured for the weekend. That's gone off because we're off. Doesn't really matter. Right. So looking at the game ahead, you know, I think a win now at this stage is crucial.
We have to win. We have to win a game of football. It's just, that's just what we have to do. It's just getting, we haven't won since Arsenal. So that's what, 4 games ago?
Do we need an international break just to clear our heads?
No, because that's the reason we're in this fucking mess.
No, we do need a win, or... Do you know, some, like, not even winning. I think if you were to go to Leicester and take a point, and it was...
No, I want to win.
I know everyone wants to win. I just don't want to walk away from Saturday and just say, same fucking goal again.
Mm.
You know, the same type of goal, ball knocked down, lands in around the box, nobody reacts, it's toe poked in and it goes under the keeper's leg, and it's what
Phil said, wasn't it? The whole point about, you know, we're not learning from anything. There's no progression. We're not correcting our mistakes.
James, I ask this because Deutsch for Burnley at the weekend said that they targeted Alexander Arnold, right?
Yeah.
They targeted him for early and the whole lot, right? And they knew that we were going to have the Lions possession of the ball, and they were just going to target him on the breaks and look to exploit our weaknesses. And that's exactly what they did. That's where the goal came from. Mm-hmm. And then off set pieces as well. He openly said it. Mm-hmm. They had worked on set pieces. They openly targeted us off set pieces. We had two cleared off the line, which is very unusual for us. Normally, they would have, Burnley in the normal situation, would have won 3-1 because of the two that were cleared off the line from the Ben Mee chances that happened. So look, Leicester are going to target. I'm looking at the likely Leicester starting up. You've got Vardy, you've got Iheanacho, you've got Albrighton, and you've got Mahrez, who are going to be on the wings looking to deliver balls in and around the box, especially on free kicks. Yeah. And then they've got Harry Maguire, Wes Morgan to attack balls off set pieces as well.
Wes Morgan played tonight, so is he going to...
Well, he started against Huddersfield at the weekend.
Okay.
Right, so I don't see why, similar to us, why Coutinho won't start for us at the weekend, sure, or why Wijnaldum won't start for us at the weekend, right? Yeah. So that's where I ask the question. Now, where we are going with this is, you know, we've just said we see the same weaknesses week in, week out now at this stage for the last 4 or 5 weeks. These are set up to play for set pieces and also play in the counter-attack. Like, we'll come back to Vardy in a second. You know, something has to change for us to get the result of the weekend. Something has to change. Mm.
Yeah, it does have to change. Like, if you... You know, we'll probably go through the team we expect to play on Saturday. And when I look at what I think might be the team, the simple things we have to do. Our centre-halves have to be aggressive, okay, at all costs, mm-hmm, okay? And Emre Can, who I think will play at the base of midfield on Saturday, needs to be always turned and look to the centre-halves to see where they need help. If you do that, I don't see any problem beating Leicester, because that's where they're targeting. They're targeting these balls where they know we're soft.
Yep.
They know we don't command areas. They know that we don't protect each other, you know. And then what happens is this lack of trust seems to come into our team. So I don't trust you. So I make a half attempt to help you get myself out of position, and they exploit it.
Okay.
And I think when it comes to Saturday, even from, if you look at the game tonight, if we'd have come out in the second half and played like we did in the first half, we pinned them in.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not too worried about Liverpool on the break. What I'm worried about is when this ball is targeted at our centre backs to just go and win mundane headers. That's where the big issue comes from. So hopefully, in the next 4 days, someone realises that we need, that our centre halves can't deal with anyone in any way. Physically at all.
I'll ask a question, right? Potentially you've got Gomez and you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, right? I want to throw a wild card in here, right? Off Gomez's play tonight, in terms of physicality and his strength, you've got a toss-up between Matip, Lovren and Clavin, because all three have been mishmashy for the last few games. Is there a wild card shout that you put James Milner in at right back for the game at the weekend, with the idea being that you're as physically strong as you can possibly be, and Milner is more comfortable as a right back than as a left back? He's right footed, and if we think back to that run to the Europa League final that we had against Sevilla, that's where the idea of Milner playing as a fullback came from. He filled in at right back and he had a load of assists and everything for ourselves, and is able to get down the right wing and get crosses in the same way Robertson has done, because he hasn't done that for a long, long time for us now at this stage, because he's been playing across the left.
Yeah. My show for right back for Saturday will be Gomez over Trent every day of the week. Like you said, he's big, he's strong, he's physical, and his natural reaction is how to defend. Trent is a great player. He will turn into a great player, in my opinion, but not as a right back. Unless he bulks up a bit more and he becomes more defensively aware.
Okay.
Gomez is more defensively aware. He'd be my show. Milner's not a bad show.
Yeah.
But I think he could be exploited pace-wise.
Okay, Gav, you've mentioned a couple. Name your team.
Mignolet and goal. What I think he'd go with, or what I would go with.
No, forget what you would go with, because it's literally no point.
What I think he'll go with. Mignolet and goal. I think he'll go Trent at right back.
Yep.
I wouldn't. I think he'll go Matip and Lovren. Moreno. Jan. Wijnaldum. Coutinho.
And then the three lads up top.
I think he might go the same three as last Saturday. That's what I think he might do.
Okay, James.
The only thing I think he might do is he might put Coutinho in the front three, and then the three lads in midfield will be Can, Wijnaldum and Hendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good show, actually. Yeah.
I that's what I think is going to happen, because I don't think he's going to drop Hendo.
And I'll do anything to not see Firmino play with.
Yeah, no, look, I absolutely, I think James's show is...
Yeah, I think he's...
Yeah.
Right.
is the one to go. Now,
so don't ask me again.
Okay, I'll come back then. I'll challenge it. And I love the show. Sure, what would we know? Jurgen Klopp is better than the whole lot. But at the same time, we're still looking at the same problems. He's looking at the same problems. And he said himself he has faith in these players to improve and thing. Yet, we're talking about lads who've been there for not just a couple of weeks and a few weeks. We're talking about the fellas who are letting them down are the same fellas who were letting them down last year. So they aren't learning and they aren't improving. And that's quite clear at this stage. But like, for me, I'd start Ward and goal. It's that Ward or Karius in goal at the weekend. I wouldn't have Mignolet anywhere near. He was fucking dog shit.
Yeah, but
like,
he's not going to.
I know, but I would have. I'd actually, after tonight's performance and looking at our three keepers and saying, okay, Karius has had a go in the Champions League, and I think he's done actually very well for us in the game that he played in, right? And also in the Arsenal game, I think he did well.
He did really well in the Arsenal game.
Of the three, though, the one who's had the most all-round secure and confident performance is Danny Ward.
Yeah.
He came for what he had to come for tonight. He dealt with everything excellently with his hands. He made one fantastic save down to the bottom left-hand corner where he pulled it out.
His distribution was really good.
Distribution was excellent. It mightn't be as quick as Karius's, but it's a lot quicker than Mignolet's.
Absolutely.
And he seemed to be able to... He just seems to be a very good goalkeeper. Now, I'm not saying he's excellent. I'm not saying... But like when you're looking at three fellas who are pretty similar levels, then my take at the moment is go for the guy who's most confident and probably most likely to deal the best way as possible.
I'd disagree. I'd go with Karius. If it was my team to pick,
yeah,
I'd go with Karius. And I'd the reason I go with Karius is because I just don't trust Mignolet. The reason I don't trust him is because, like, we're all talking about being targeted at the weekend, like every team is, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're targeting us and they're saying, right, and yeah, he comes for a bit more than he used to come for him, but when he comes, he's still not... I wouldn't be 100% confident in him.
No, I agree. Karius or Ward would definitely be my choice. Ward tonight just did... He ticked every box I've wanted to see from a Liverpool goalkeeper. As we said, well, that was the first time we've ever seen a Liverpool goalkeeper since Rayner come out and actually get the ball from when there's a cross coming in. And, you know, he was strong, he was commanding, he was everything we wanted. And it is so frustrating to know that Klopp won't play him at the weekend and that Mignolet will come straight back in. And we'll have the same issues. We'll have the same thing about, oh God, is he going to drop it in his net? Or, you know, it's just going to drain the confidence straight away. But whereas if Ward was in there, and as I said, if we had Gomez right back and say Robertson left back and the two lads, Matt and Ben Lovren, I think that'd be a way stronger back five.
Yeah, but you could make an argument for any of the goalkeepers, I think. And it might go back, they might go back to Mignolet and go with Mignolet because he will go with Mignolet.
He said he's pretty much sick of this question. Mm-hmm. And he said in a press conference, Simon Mignolet is my number one. He will play 85% of games this season.
Yeah.
So Klopp couldn't be any more direct than that. Yeah.
And I think the argument that we have is that if you have Lovren and Matip there and you're having problems at centre-back, he's probably looking at it and saying, this keeper knows them best. They know him best.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bring Karius in or you bring Ward in, you know, they're not as familiar with him and it could lead to uncertainty. But there's uncertainty there anyway.
Yeah, that's it. The uncertainty is there whether it's, you know, we have this uncertainty every game. So what difference would it make if it's Ward or if it's Karius? You know, the two lads played the whole season with Mignolet and they're still fucking a disaster most of the time. So, you know, does it really make a difference what keeper is there? So, as we said, we've seen a really good performance from Ward. What's his reward for playing well tonight?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
Like, or so his reward is, you know, we stick with Mignolet, whereas, you know, under previous managers, maybe in the past, like if you play well in a cup game, you get the next game. We know for a fact Mignolet is going to come in on Saturday. So what's the point in Danny Ward playing well? Because he knows he's only going to be playing in cup. Well.
He's
going to be our FA Cup goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah. So he's another 3 months now.
So, you know, I just can't understand this whole thing around our goalkeeper and how Simon Mignolet time and time again gets it. And now he'll probably have a fucking worldie on Saturday if he does. Yeah, I do as well. Like, I'm not one of these people who say, oh, fucking hell, I hate him and I want him to play. No, if someone's playing for Liverpool Football Club, I want to see him play well. I don't care. I just want good, competent players on the pitch and not to be moaning about the same fucking mistakes every game was like we're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's all we're doing at the moment. Every game, we're giving away the same goal. And it doesn't seem to matter who we bring in. And there's no constant. Now, maybe that's what you have to start looking at. We have not had a consistent back five.
Yeah.
He has changed that back five every game.
Yeah.
We have not. There's no two games in a row where we've had a consistent back five.
But it's not. Is that because?
I know that's because one of them keeps fucking up. But yeah, does he just need to ride it out?
He's not being consistent in his selections because the players can't be consistent for more than one game or two games. So he's having to mix them. The only constant probably is Matip.
Yeah, you know, Matip is the only.
Matip gets away with absolute murder in this team.
Yeah,
I really do. Like, I watch him and I just think.
Oh, he was awful for the goal on Saturday.
Yeah, he was awful for the goal. But you see, what I find with these centre-halves is when Matip plays, I think he pushes Lovren up the pitch. And Lovren likes to be up the pitch, engaging players and trying to win. And it suits him. And Matip can sweep up. When he plays with Clavin just wants to drop and sit on the six-yard box.
Yeah.
And when Lovren and Clavin play together, which I don't think it's happened too many times.
No.
But it's just... One is not but sure of themselves, look, never mind each other. You know?
And I said it to you guys earlier, my solution to this is swap Matip and Lovren around, right? So if you play Gomez at right centre-back, you have a bit more defensive assurity beside him, right? Mm. And also, I think Lovren is a far superior right centre-back than he is left centre-back, even though he thinks he's best and that's his best side. But when we did play him and Sacco there in the run to the Europa final, arguably one of his best runs of form for Liverpool so far, he was playing on the right hand side.
Yeah.
And I could never understand when Rodgers was there.
He was back on the left side, we lost the game.
He goes AWOL. I think he concentrates more when he's playing. He takes less chances and concentrates more when he's playing on the right hand side because it's not his natural side to defend on.
Yeah.
And I think that's to the benefit of his game. And if I'm starting, that's where. And Matip has played many a game for Schalke as the left centre back. I don't think whichever side has as big an influence on him as others, let's say, right? And or other centre backs that's there. So why not do it?
Yeah.
As I said to you, something has to change.
Yeah, no, it does. So it does quick. Field. The games are, you know, we've a game every couple of days at the moment.
And our centre backs are our centre backs, right? Yeah. So we've only got X amount of centre backs that we can deal with.
Yeah.
And those two are our best centre backs, whether we like it or not, right?
Yeah.
So let's try something with them that just moves things around, throws it up a bit, and makes them concentrate more, makes them have to think about things a bit more.
Yeah, but there probably is a concentration thing, but for me the big thing watching them all the time is, and I am repeating myself now, but I can't say it enough, all you want them centre halves to do is go out and say, listen, you're 6 foot fucking three or 6 foot four, you're a big lad, there's not many bigger than you out there, I want you to be physical, okay? Now, not in a Gruwich kind of way, because that's just ridiculous. But what I want you to do is, I want you to stand up to the player.
Can we convert him to a centre back?
Just give him nothing easy.
Yeah.
Give him nothing easy. You'll get your fair share of fouls against you. You'll get your fair share for you. But you'll be physical and you won't give him anything cheap.
Yeah.
And the main thing to go with that is, the guy that's screening the back four, playing deepest in the midfield, needs to be told, listen, when they go to hit a ball long, you need to drop 10 yards. Much like Lucas used to do. Lucas used to stand on the toes of the centre forward and make it really difficult. And then you shuttle 10 yards forward when we get the ball or when we get back in a normal shape.
Yeah.
But for that original ball, he needs to be the man to say, listen, I'm going to stand in front here and I'm going to protect you from this ball. And when it breaks and when we get on the ball, I can, look, it's only shuttling 10 yards here and 10 yards there. But it seems to be that the ball goes over, the two centre-halves are exposed against two players. They're not strong, they're not physical, and we get turned over and we concede goals.
One of the big things that was really positive about us at this time last season was the amount of goals we were able to score from all positions across the pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be something that we need to bring back into this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can it happen on Saturday? Like, we've talked about Salah and potentially Coutinho in the top three.
Mm-hmm.
Firmino is a streaky scorer at times, right? Mm-hmm. He's probably going to get 13, 14 goals for us again this season, but he's going to get them in chunks. He might get a run of 5 or 6 games where he gets 7 or 8, then you might get one for another 10 games. So we know Salah is pretty much close to one per game at the moment.
Yep.
We need other people to chip in at this stage, don't we?
Yeah, I think, you know, as one of the criticisms we would have had of Coutinho at the weekend, he was trying too hard. Mm. He just wants to score. So maybe the Leicester game will be the game where he gets back into the goals, like, and especially if he's playing on the front you know, I think he could really open up. He opened up Leicester quite a few times tonight. He was lucky with a couple of shots and that. So maybe Saturdays, you know.
He needs one to fly in.
Yeah, and exactly.
The monkey off his back.
Absolutely. That's and then that, it's yeah, that's, kind of, yeah, that whole, it's weighing him down at the
that
moment.
That whole situation kind of disappears a bit more into the distance.
Exactly.
But once we get Firmino up the middle of the park, because I don't think Firmino's an outlet to Coutinho when Coutinho's deeper and Firmino's playing wide. I just think, and it's hard because you want Firmino in the team, but for me, I only want him centrally. I don't want
absolutely.
I think it takes away from him and the team when he moves out wide. So James is probably right. You probably will see Coutinho having to play up in the front three, but I think that might affect Salah then, because Salah likes Coutinho would love nothing more than to be in that midfield and hitting Salah on the break.
Right. I don't labour on this too much because I do want to get out of here. I'm fucking exhausted and I have to go home and edit this thing and get it back out at the same time tonight, right? So just looking at it, and to be honest with you, I think from our point of view, take all the negativity aside around the results, but surely if we maintain the level of performance that we're doing and become a bit more clinical, right, then the results will come.
Yeah.
But how long can you maintain that level of performance if the results aren't coming? That's what I want to ask.
It's not, I don't think it's a massive leap. I think, you know, a couple of percent defensively and a couple of percent offensively, and I think we'll take teams apart. And I mean 3, 4 and 5 nils. You know, I think it's that small a margin. How long can it go on for? It's going to have to go on until January if this, because you have to remember, it is a system problem, but it's a personnel problem as well, and they're the personnel you're stuck with.
My point is, eventually you start hitting a brick wall. So you look at United last year, right? And this is my concern. This is my biggest concern. And I put it to you in the group around it as well.
Yeah, you did.
It's right. Last year, United were bashing teams, having 100 million chances per game and not scoring. And they were miles behind us by the time Christmas came, right? They got their shit together after Christmas and relatively caught up with us, but still finished behind us, right? We've gone from a place of last year where we were blitzing teams at the very start of the season, scoring a shitload of goals, to a point where we haven't really been free scoring up to the first couple of games of the season, but we haven't been really free scoring for the best part of January through to May. We've had a couple of big results in there, but if you think about how we got over the line towards the end of the season, it was 1-0, 2-0, that's how we got there, right? Is there a danger that because we've been a bit sort of, I won't say mentally weak, but we've been weakened by the fact that we haven't been free scoring and we've had to sort of grind out results, that we are starting to lose that clinical nature to us?
I think we're losing the clinical side to us because you have to remember when forward players are in a position to score or on the break, if you're defending well, they have no worries. They go up, they tear teams apart, they score goals for fun. But when you're mentally, physically weak at the back and these lads are through on goal and they have chances, they're thinking in their head, I have to get this. I have to score this because we're definitely conceding them. You know, so it becomes, the defensive side of the game becomes onto their shoulders as well as attacking players. So, I don't think there's a problem with us scoring goals. I think we will score plenty of goals, especially when you look at Lallana's back in light training.
Well, Mane's back. Mane's back for the Newcastle game.
I can't see a problem there. And I think it'll actually push us on in a funny way. I think we'll score more goals when we actually
become
more solid at the back.
I've just seen after the fucking Newcastle game, there's another fucking international break. Jesus.
But then again, we could be
saying
okay to that because like Phil said, we could have been in a proper rough game. You know? He's always lighting up when we say it here. So, but now look, someone asked earlier, I think on the Periscope, is it a slump? I don't think it's a slump. There's too many competitions and too many types of games.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a slump, but I think, like I said, a couple of percentage here and there, you know, and I think we'll be fine. I'm usually optimistic, but
regressing to the mean. There was hints of statistics being spoken about on this podcast, but we're regressing to the mean. Right, so predictions, Gav Doyle, on the Leicester game for the weekend.
I don't usually do predictions. Do I
don't.
Have to?
I don't give a fuck whether you do predictions or not on the Fat Back Four. I want the prediction off you.
No, I don't do them in general. In life.
Well, you want to fucking do them and start doing them now. Okay, right? How else are you going to win the lotto? If you don't do a prediction, you can't win the lotto. Come
on. You don't do a prediction in the lotto. You do numbers.
You pick a numbers, exactly. So you predict what numbers are going to come.
No, you don't.
What do you fucking do?
It's a quick pick. The computer's doing the.
So the computer's doing the picking for you. Ask the computer. Come here. Ask Siri or fucking Samsung's equivalent, whatever the hell is in Android. Ask Mick there what. Score
3-1 Liverpool.
I like the optimism, James.
2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool. I like the optimism. I think it'll be a 2-0 win to Leicester. Anyway,
I look forward to the player ratings.
Well, we're not in for that game, so I'll have to wait till next Tuesday.
Who's doing the post match?
That's Stephen. Steve was doing the post match, and we have a very special guest in the post match this week.
Do you?
Yeah, can't reveal too much about that.
Ex
LFC player, very famous person on the television, and I'm not saying any more.
Mark Lawrenson.
Right. Okay, Trippers chats, and we won't be taking too long with these. So I'm going to use some of the runes that the guys didn't use because I forgot to ask for them earlier on today, right, basically, right? So the first one is from Russell Dewey with Russell Dewey. He says, if chosen to send a once-off message as a representative of mankind, what would that message be?
What's the question?
If chosen to send a once-off message as a representative of mankind, what would that message be?
Who's the message to?
So the aliens.
Like, we were doing the Fatback Four last night. I had this question. And
it was actually Sunday night. I know the day seemed to roll into one.
Yeah, and I called it episode 4 and it's episode 3. I'm all over the place. But we were doing that the other night. And
I thought it was better when I think it was Daphne saying, I've listened to all 4 episodes and I thought they were great.
She'd be a great witness in court, wouldn't she? Yeah, no, they definitely done 4. I don't know what if it depends who I'm telling. Who am I telling it to?
Aliens.
It's aliens. It is aliens. Right?
And we're actually going to send a message to mankind from hey, Wales.
Oh well, then I tell him that Ragnar Klavan is their leader and he wants to go home. So that'd be just. It'd be more a request than a message.
Do you reckon they'd be able to tell the difference?
No, it'd be demand. It'd be actually a demand.
Do you reckon they'd be able to tell the difference between him and Bogdan? Would Bogdan be headed to the queue?
If I had to cycle a bike like an ET with Ragnar having in a fucking basket on the front of it, I'd cycle it as far as I fucking had to get him back. I'm not messing.
I felt like that many times about many LFC players. But come here, is Bogdan not practicing for that role of cycling the bike back to the ETs?
No. Who are we talking about now?
Bogdan.
Oh yeah, no, he's
his brother.
Have you seen his Instagram?
Bogdan McShay.
Ah, his Instagram's great. The lads are all out on. They're all training. Lads are training, and he's sitting upstairs with a glass of orange juice, a salad, and just putting. That's a great view. So he's too busy to be playing football.
That's first team LFC player there.
Yeah.
Will I be out training? No, lads, not for me. I'm done here. Thanks.
You want to see the view?
Bit of lunch.
There? I'm not fucking playing.
Bit of lunch. James, what would your message to the aliens be?
Oh God. What would our message be? Jesus.
Anytime tonight. Because we'll be recording the Fatback Four at this rate, even hurry up.
Fatback Four was 4 days ago now.
Daphne's listening to the 5th episode.
We're sound. Please take Donald Trump. Something like that.
Is that the best you can come up with?
Yeah, that's the best I can come up with on short notice. Yeah, sorry.
Fuck me.
I know, it's bad.
Donald Trump gets a hard time. Like, in fairness, right? Donald Trump. He's given out about, but all them boys fucking voted for him.
I know.
And do you know what? They voted for him and they can't get rid of him now. They've done nothing to get rid of him.
I know.
The only way they're trying to get rid of him is putting tweets up and asking for retweets. Do you know what I mean? So if that's your plan, he's going nowhere. He's a fucking maniac, but he's...
He just said if...
Right, that was the podcast. Thanks again to everyone to listen. Thanks again as ever to Skillzone for sponsoring the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed the pre and post match coverage. And of course, Steve-O's Charlie Chaplin periscope that he did. with Joel. 10 minutes of Steve-O talking to himself. Legend. Anyway, that's it. We'll be back at the weekend with the Fatback Four. We'll be back then on Tuesday with the Tuesday Club, which was the Monday Club, it's now the Tuesday Club. And I think next week, we've also got the Aussie lads are doing their monthly on the Couch podcast. That's what I was trying to think of earlier on. That's out on Friday with a month review of all the LFC happening. So that's coming out. And then we have the women back next Thursday as well. And I think we'll have a Euro Trash at some stage if we can raise the bail for Neil. So, and if you do see a subscribe button on the website, do that, because we will definitely come begging for you soon. Neil's bail gets more expensive every week it goes on. So anyway, that was your lot. That's Gav, that's James, that's Steve-O, that's Phil, that's me. It's the Tuesday Club. Good night, God bless you. Talk to you next week.
What would your message be to the aliens?
What would your message be to mankind?
Yeah, fuck off away from my podcast. Stop messing with it. The aliens came into the bunker there and fucked with the sound. And I've spent 10 minutes talking to I could hear Joel perfectly. And all people could see was Joel doing his best Charlie fucking Chaplin impression. They said, get him a marker.
Why don't you do sign language?
Yeah, like that fucking little bitch on Channel 4 that's down in the corner. The funniest thing you'll ever see in your life is when they do the hearing impaired version of The Inbetweeners. And she has to do like jizz motions, fucking motions and everything. It's magical. If you come in locked out of your place at 2 o'clock or 1:30 in the morning and turn on Channel 4 and that crazy bitch is down in the corner giving it socks to The Inbetweeners, it's pure beauty.
It'll be nothing on me on a bike.
Oh, we're singing the Danny Ings song.
Why has Danny Ings got a song?
I don't know.
Why the fuck has Danny Ings got a song?
He's gorgeous hair.
He doesn't really have a song.
They just sang a thing.
They just sang a Danny Ings song.
That can't be.
Sturridge
song.
Has scored 100 goals for
Danny
the club.
Ings, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, fuck.
Have
off,
you heard the radio recently? There's some fucking absolute shite that's considered song.
Danny Ings is actually a good song in comparison to fucking some of the other stuff. I can't believe Danny Ings has a song. Hasn't been seen until yet. He's played about 3 games. Gomez has actually played more games than him now at this stage, which is quite tough. Earlier, which may still have been concerning him, hence the decision to.